Acts 3 and verse number 1, and it reads like this now. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You see, Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. Somebody said, "I don't know about all you Pentecostals shouting and leaping and running, and you never see Jesus carrying on like that." Another man said, "Yeah, but every person he ever touched sure did." Amen. And verse number 9 says it like this, church. And all, A-L-L, all the people saw him praising, walking and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. No doubt, every man there knew there's a living God that's touched that man's life. I want to preach to us for a few moments tonight. If the Lord had helped me, and the Holy Ghost would anoint me, and this is the direction I feel the Lord's led us with for this evening. I want to preach a miracle with a message. A miracle with a message. Are you going to help me tonight? All right, I heard you. I'm going to hold you to it. Let's slip up our hands to heaven, church. Let's just pray in one mind and one accord that God would open up the windows of heaven, that the Lord would begin to deal with our hearts. Father, we thank you. Oh, God, we do praise you in this house. We love you, God. We bless your holy name tonight. I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would touch me, oh, God. I pray let your mighty hand of mercy, goodness, and grace come upon us. Lord, let God's hand minister like only you can. God, let words of life come out of our heart tonight. Don't let anybody leave the same way that they've come in. But let every man leave saying it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. To dwell in the presence of God. To be changed in the likeness of the Lord. To know our God and to do exploits in His name. And for this we give God praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Beloved, we read tonight of a man that was lame from birth. A man that when he entered into this twisted world, he was born with twisted legs. A man that when his mother and daddy looked at him, no doubt shook their head and said, "This will be a child that will never, ever, ever have what we would define as a normal life." I do not know the number of questions that began to run through the minds of that mother and that father. We could speculate of everything that crossed the mind as they seen this child, as they looked at it, as they shook their head, and maybe, just maybe, they maybe even began to start saying, "What did we do wrong?" You've been there, hadn't you, before? You've been there with things happen and you looked at it, and the first thing you began to shake your head was and say, "God, why did it turn out like this? I mean, couldn't it have been different?" This is a man that every day of his life, as far as we know, the only way that he has to make just a little bit of ends meet, a little bit of bread, is somebody has to physically pick this man up, probably 2 to 3 people, and carry him to that gate called Beautiful and lay him down at that gate early in the morning as men and women would begin to work across that marketplace close by. They would not say it, but you know as well as I do, they would lay that man down
and secretly say in their heart, this is as good as it's ever going to get for somebody like you. Don't ever expect things to change. This is your life from now on. And your life will be marked by one thing, a great big question mark. Why, God? Why, God? Josephus tells us a little bit about that gate. He said that gate called Beautiful was made out of Corinthian brass. They said they took gold and silver and overlaid that gate. And Brother Johnson, whenever that sun would come across that Mount of Olives early in the morning, it would shine right on that gate. And what a beautiful reflection that the sun would have shining on that gate. Men and women would look around and see such a gate, and they would say, my, what a beautiful gate, thus forming the name, the gate called Beautiful. But when that man looked at the gate, when that man saw the gate, he didn't see the reflection of a sunshine. He didn't see the reflection of beauty. All he saw was the reflection of a crippled life that was without answers. All he saw was the reflection of a man that, as far as he's concerned, never had a chance to make it like other people had in life. And if that man could have ever written a book, Brother Prescott, it would have been volumes big, and it had been filled with questions like, if only, if. And what could have happened if, and had only things been different? You ever wonder to yourself? You ever wonder to yourself if Jesus ever seen this man in his earthly ministry there? You ever thought to yourself for just one second, if Jesus ever passed by this poor crippled man? I kind of believe that he did. Sure he did. He's laid at the gate daily. That's on the way to the temple. That man can't go in the temple according to that Levitical law. He's laying so he can't pass that gate. But he's getting just as close as he can to that gate. You know as good as I do, Jesus walked right by that man. You think Jesus maybe did like what we do sometimes whenever we see one of those folks on the side of the road that has up on those signs, we'll work for whatever. Oh, don't get too personal here tonight, Brother Zane. But you know how it is. I mean, if they're on this side of the road, you just happen to find something interesting to look at on that side of the road, don't you? And if they're on this side of the road, somehow or another, we always just bend our neck over to the other side so we don't have to see that person there. It's almost as if we don't have to deal with the reality of something there if we don't look at it, you know. It's kind of like when your little child will put her hand over her eyes and she pretends that nobody else can see her just because you can't see them. Come on, friend. Can I tell you, I believe Jesus passed this man day after day after day. Why didn't he heal him, Brother Zane? Ain't he a healer? Anyone that touches it, and this is what Jesus does. I mean, and this is what Jesus does is heal people. I want to remind you tonight, friend, that just because it does not make sense to you and does not make sense to me, it does not mean that it did not make sense to an all-knowing God. Say amen. Jesus passed that man for a purpose. I said Jesus walked by that man on purpose. He knows when to heal. He knows when to touch him. There are storms in our life that we shake our head and say, why haven't you touched me? If that doesn't make sense to you, that doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense from heaven's perspective. That's what I was saying. That don't make sense that God wouldn't heal that man. Doesn't make sense that God wouldn't touch that life. Doesn't make sense that God wouldn't raise him up. Yes, it makes every bit of sense. But you got to see it from God's perspective. There's going to come a day where he gets healed. Yes, there's going to come a time where he gets healed. But you can't get ahead of the perfect will of God and expect the perfect blessings to flow. There come a day. There come a day, Brother Green, Acts 4 and 2, 22. The man was above 40 years old of whom this miracle of healing was shown. Nobody can deny what had taken place. Everybody saw it. Nobody could dismiss it. And friend, if we're not careful, Sometimes we'll look on the very surface of things and we'll not see it as God sees it. And if we're not careful, we'll start playing the blame game of why isn't God healing me like God's healing you, like God's healing them. Wait a second, what about a testimony of this person getting healed? Well, they got a healing. Why can't I? You're not seeing it from God's perspective. We do an awful job of looking at the fruit and not the root. In fact, I was down praying one time, and I said, Lord, I said, this man, he's an angry man. I was touching somebody's on my heart. He's an angry man. And Lord, I just pray, God. I pray for his anger. Lord, I'm just praying for his anger. Would you deliver him of this anger? And if the Holy Ghost ever spoke to me and began to deal with my heart and said, you're looking at the fruit, I'm interested in the root. I began to cry, God, show me what it is. Why is this man so angry? God began to deal with me and say, he's got a heart that is an unforgiving heart. And the reason he's so angry, it's because he won't let go of what everybody else has done to him. Hey, beloved, have you ever been guilty of just looking at the fruit and not getting down to the root? I went to God tonight. Somebody would say, Lord, get down to the root of my life. Say amen, somebody. Get down to the root of my life. Get down to where I am. Get down to the core. Get down to the center. Get all of me. God was more interested in the root than the fruit. Bad root, bad fruit. Come on here, friend. And all of a sudden, one day, it happened. All of a sudden, one day, Brother Yates, the man turns around. Why now? Why at this place? I tell you why. Because there is a God whose ways are higher than your ways and higher than my ways. And there is a God that knew on this day, as the Bible said in Acts 4 and 4, that there's going to be 5,000 men that see a walking miracle, that see God's hand, that see that God's alive. God uses this man's miracle as a message for 5,000 souls to hear that the Lord is still alive. I wonder, can men see Jesus through your life? Say amen, church. Can men really see the Lord living through you? You know what? If you can tell me how high up is, I can tell you how far apart God's thoughts are from our thoughts. Do you mind know that? Do you mind know how high up is? Any of you young folks too? Young people probably got an answer. You ask a 4-year-old, they can probably tell you. Friend, until you can tell me how high up is, you'll never be able to fully understand why God does the things that he does in the ways that he does them. I'll never be able to fully figure out God. If you should be able to fully figure out God, he wouldn't be God. We're going to be like him in eternity, but we will never be as him in eternity because we are not God, though we'll be like him. We'll never fully understand. Those seraphims have been crying, holy, 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 for thousands upon thousands of years, but they've never come to the place where he doesn't impress them anymore. Oh, every time he moves, every time he moves, every time that little feather moves on their eye, they say he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. I ain't never figured him out, but I love him. I ain't never got him all, but I love him. I love him. Whatever he does in our life, whatever he makes of our life, wherever he pushes our life, he knows more than we know. Amen. God, you know what's best for this man. You know what you need out of this man's life. Hallelujah to God. We love it when Jesus turns the water into wine. But let me ask you something, beloved. Is He still your Lord when He turns your wine into water? Say amen. Hey, why didn't you heal me? Why didn't you touch me? Why didn't you touch my life? He's God. He knows when. And God used one man on that day to be a walking, talking message. What did that man show to 5,000 people? Number one tonight, he showed to 5,000 men and women that Jesus is a risen Lord. Say amen. Acts 3:15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. Hallelujah. If it wasn't been for that man getting healed that day, Peter never would have had a platform to preach to 5,000 men that the same Jesus that you put on the cross is the same Jesus that rose from the dead. Say amen, beloved. I got news for you, friend. Men and women ought to see Jesus alive in our lives. Men and women ought to see Jesus alive in our lives. They say, how's He alive? He's alive in me. He's alive in you. Hallelujah! Say amen. They looked around and said, He's alive, ain't He? He said, that's right. How you know He's alive? Because I see Him right here in this man. How you know He's come up out of that grave? Because He's all in this house. Oh my God. How they know He's alive? Because they see Him in you. They see you at the store. They say there's something in that man. There's something in that life. They got a hold of something that I ain't got a hold of. And whatever they got, that's what I want. There's a life in them that's not in me, He said. And God uses one man that for all of his life could never figure out why things are so different from me, and turns it all around and says, don't you realize that your life and your suffering is a testimony that I am a living God? Oh my God, can you say that with your life? Can you say that through every struggle, through every heartache, through every pain, there's one thing about it? You've shown Jesus. You've shown Jesus. Men saw you. Ladies saw you and said, Jesus is in their life. Jesus is alive. He rose. He's all over them. Say amen. Oh, God. I can see it on their face. I can see it in the church. I can tell, can they do it? They come to church every time, strolling on in a wheelchair. They may come in a wheelchair, and when it's God's will to heal them, it will. But until it does, they still worship Him and say He's alive. That's my kind of saint. That's my kind of brother. That's my, come on here, friend. Give us hearts again. Give us lives again. Let us say, Jesus, in the midst of my struggle, I want somebody to see You. That You rose from the grave. I want somebody to see that You come on up. I want somebody to see that You're alive. The risen Savior is not a once a year message. We've watered that thing down one Sunday a year. The kids can't wait to get out there and rot their teeth on all the candy Mom and Dad got them that morning. Say amen. Amen. Let me tell you something, it's more than just Easter, beloved. I said it's more than just Easter. It's more than just one Sunday a year. Every day of your life, we got to live like Jesus is alive. I said we got to live like Jesus is alive. We got to show this world He's alive. How can you serve Him? You're hurting. How can you serve Him? You're in pain. I tell you how I can serve Him. Because He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells I am His own. Oh, He called me by name. I spoke with Him this morning. He's alive. Glory to God. He's alive and well. He's living in my hands. He's living in my feet. He's all over me. He's alive. Say amen. I said that life that lives through that suffering is a testimony that Jesus is alive. Oh, Harold Harry Houdini, the magician, I dare say devil-possessed man. I was at 1930s, maybe 40s. His biographer says the only place he could never escape was men's minds. They could put that man in a straitjacket. The bartender, he'd come out of that thing. Put that man behind iron bars. He'd get out of that stuff. Told his wife. He said, listen, if I die, he said, I want you to go to the room. And they had a secret password. I don't know what that password was. But she was supposed to look at that candle on his birthday and light a candle and look at that picture and repeat that secret word over and over and get Harry Houdini to come back to life. And she did that, Brother Bartee. She stayed in that room and she took that candle and lit it and held that picture up, and all day long she chanted that secret little password. And Harry never come up out of that grave. She didn't do it just once, Brother Kyle. She did it 2 years in a row on the man's birthday. 3 years in a row on the man's birthday. 5 years, 8 years. Finally, on the 10th year in a row, she chanted that name all day long in that secret password. And Harry never come to life. She finally stood on up. She took that picture. She turned it upside down. She blew out that light and said, Harry, not even you can escape death. How Hallelujah. Harry Houdini couldn't do it, but my Jesus, He's alive. How do you know He's alive? I saw Him here last night. I've seen Him here tonight. I've spoken of the day. He's in me. Every time a child of God is baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's just one more evidence. He made it. He made it. You want to know if He made it? Just stick around here till one of them gets filled with the Holy Ghost. You look at it, He made it. How you know He made it? He said, it's a speeding, I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But the Comforter came. That lets me know that He made it. You heard about that old farmer? That old farmer had that grand young'un of his come out to the farm with him and said, son, I got to go upstairs, top of the barn. I'm going to throw you down some hay. I just want you to stack it up over here, and I'll be back down. And that young boy said, well, Grandpa, how am I going to know when you make it up there? And he said, boy, when you see the hay fall down here, you'll know I've made it up there. Well, honey, can I tell you, when you see the fire start blowing around these altars, you know He made it up, Brother Johnson. Hallelujah. They can doubt if they want. They can say it ain't no such thing if you lie. But He's alive, and I saw it. Oh, He's alive. He's risen. He's alive, and He lives in heart. He walks in light. Somebody give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Not a dead Christ, I live in Christ. How do you know? Because he's sitting right here. He's sitting in the heart of that man. He's sitting in the heart of that sister. He's sitting in the heart of that sister. He's alive in their life. Not a God that's far off, but a God that's close. He walks with me. He lives with me. And every one of those men said, my God, if you can keep serving Jesus after everything you've been through, that lets me know he is a risen Lord. There's something about this Savior. There's something about him. It would draw all men. He'd look at that rich young ruler. That rich young ruler would tell him, you know, what's the secret to eternal life? Now you got to understand something. That rich young ruler, he doesn't understand what you and I understand. And his theological brain, Brother Paul, he doesn't look at Jesus and say, you're the Son of God. You're going to die for the sins of the world and be the propitiation for my sins. And if I'll put my belief in you and repent of my sins, you're going to give me life everlasting. He doesn't realize that, Brother Barty. But all he can tell is he's looking at that man, Jesus, and he's saying, you know what? I got everything this world could offer. I got age on my side. I'm rich. I know all the right people in all the right places. But you a poor carpenter man. But there's something inside of you that I'm lacking. And all I can tell you, it's just like it's eternal. Whatever it is inside of you, that's what I want inside of me. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, let me be so full of your life that no matter who I come across will say, let me have what they've got. He's got it. But he doesn't have what Jesus has. He's got everything you don't have. Why aren't you holding his folks turned out the lights? Why haven't you turned in the key? One man said, throw in the towel. Why haven't you given it up yet? Because every time we walk in this house, where two or three are gathered in his name, he begins to move in our midst, just like he promised that he said he would. And we leave saying, I want to see him again. On that day, one man was used to let 5,000 men know that Jesus Christ is a risen Lord. Friend, hear me. Not only did he let those men know he's a risen Lord, he was used to let those men and women know he's a residing Lord. His power is still the same. Say amen to me, somebody. Acts 3 and 6, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus. Acts 3 and 16, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. They're saying, I thought we got rid of this Jesus. I thought we done away with this Jesus. No, sir, you did not. He filled these men with the Spirit, and he's back on your front porch, and he's still as strong as he ever was, and he's still making miracles. I know they're telling us that the days of miracles are over with, but you got another thing coming. Jesus still makes miracles. He still changes lives, and his power is still the same. Same. I thought we'd done away with him. He's not here. Surely his power has waned. It's weakened. Surely it's gone away. No, God had to keep one man back. God had to keep somebody back. That way another sinner man can know that he still changed his life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every last one of us got healed tonight? What a testimony it'd be. But let me tell you something. God knows that maybe just Sunday morning there may be another sinner walking that door, and tonight's not your night. It may be that night. But when it happens, they're going to say he is just as strong as he ever was. I was telling Brother Green, I don't know about up here in Virginia, maybe North Carolina, but I know down in South Georgia, around North Florida, they had what they called wholeness communities. In other words, they wouldn't let our kids, our babies, play in the same places as their children. In some places, they wouldn't allow the holiness people to buy groceries in the same store that the rest of them bought groceries in. Brother Johnson, they treated us worse than gypsies. They said all manner of evil against us. We were treated as the off-scouring of this world. But I can tell you one thing, beloved. Whenever they tried everything they could to get one of their babies healed, and the doctor couldn't heal them, and medicine couldn't help it, you know what they'd say? Say, go cross the tracks. Go get a handful of them tongue-talking men and women, and let them pray for my baby. Let them pray for my child. And God would heal, and the Lord would touch. Oh, Mama May, she's 95 years old when I met her years and years ago. She's a little black lady. And I was in church with her, and she said, oh, Brother Zane, she said, I didn't grow up in this here great way. She said, Mama done told me, she said, don't you ever get close to any of them folks down there. Said they got this powder. Come on here. You young folks don't know what I'm talking about. Got this powder. And they're going to throw that powder on you. And if that powder ever gets thrown on you, you're going to go crazy like that. She told me, she said, every day I had to pass that church on the way to school. She said, I'd get to the corner of that church. Mama May told me, she said, I'd take a deep breath. She said, I'd run as hard as I could. I'd get outside of that church. I'd look back and say, whoa, didn't get no powder on me. I said, Mama May, what happened to you? I said, you get some of that powder on you? She said, no, baby. Wasn't no powder get thrown on me. She said, I just got under the power. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. It ain't games and gimmicks. It's a living Savior. It, come on here. It ain't a sleight of hand. It's a living God. And every time somebody gets healed, it lets the world know that he's still the same. He's still the same. He's still the same. He's alive. His power's real. Somebody pray that. Cannot bear repeating this. I'm over there in Africa. And I go in and see that pastor. And this little precious wife comes out of that back room. And I mean, she's just as weak as well water. And I look at her, and Brother Yates, I say, what's wrong? She looks back at me and she says these words, I can't quit bleeding. I looked at her, I said, no more questions. That pastor laid his hands on his wife. I laid my hand on that pastor's wife. We didn't hear nothing running around us. All we did was pray in faith, believing. We left that house about a week, maybe two. I don't remember later. We're over there in Kenya, but the Chula gets that cell phone. I hear him saying that Kenyan accent. Praise good, brother. Praise good. Praise good. Praise good. I said, what is it, Brother Chula? He said, you remember that pastor's wife? So do. He said, God has healed her life and raised her up. But everybody in that village has seen that woman sick for so many years, and all they're saying is this: whoever your God is, let your God be my God. Oh, hallelujah! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Glory! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Your power is still the same! One man, I got to close. One man that the world knows through his hurting, through his sorrow, through his suffering, that Jesus Christ is a risen Savior and his power is still the same. But hear me tonight. God's trying to talk to hearts in this house. I know there's some people in every wind of doctrine that comes by, they got to jump on the bandwagon. It's time you get rooted. It's time you get grounded. It's time you get a hold of something solid and say, I want to serve a Jesus that doesn't change just because culture changes, just because some musical band changes, just because some preacher compromises. I want the Jesus that men can see in life. Jesus used one man's suffering to let the world know he's a risen Lord. He's a residing Lord. And to let the world know I am a redeeming Lord. Acts 3 and 17. Brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, and so also your rulers. But those things which God before hath shown by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. This man's suffering was used as a platform to let men know you can be saved. You reckon? We talk about Jesus looking at the crippled man. You reckon the crippled man never looked at Jesus? He's there. His legs are lame. And all of a sudden he begins to hear, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. His heart begins to pound. He thinks to himself, this is it! This is it! I know Jesus is going to heal me right now. Jesus. I wonder, do you think he said to himself, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. I just need to do like my old friend, Bartimaeus. Old blind Bart. You know what I heard he did to get Jesus? He yelled all the more the louder. Therefore, I'll get my healing by screaming and screaming till I can't scream no more. He never got his healing. I know what I'll do. I'll save up enough of these nickels and quarters, and I'll hire four men. Man, they'll lower me down through a roof. I heard that works, you know. And you know, Jesus has got to heal me just like he did heal that person. Don't you put Jesus in that confinement. Just because it worked one way at one church doesn't mean God's obligated. And no matter how much he cries, no matter how much he tries to bribe somebody to drop him down through a roof, Jesus still doesn't heal. Father, won't you heal? If only Felix, if only Jesus could have turned around and looked at that boy and said, hold on, you don't know my plan for you. And you don't understand that for the greatest glory of God, what is needed most is not your healing so much as your faithfulness in your suffering. And that's a hard place for people to come to. I know that gets an evangelist run out of town real fast. You know, we're supposed to come on by and lay hands on everybody and tell them you ain't going to have any problems tomorrow. Book don't read like that. I believe in healing. I believe in the power of God. But sometimes, friend, sometimes your testimony is even more powerful than your healing. Old Sister Taylor, she fasts 3 days a week. I'm not telling you you have to do that, but she's a diabetic, and the doctor says don't miss one meal. And she still fasts 3 days a week. You call her foolishness if you want. I ain't going to call her foolish. You do that, and that'll be on your account between you and God. I ain't calling her foolish. First day of that week that she fasts for her pastor. That's legal. Second day of that week that she fasts for her church. Third day of the week that she fasts for her own edification to draw closer to God. The pastor told me, he said, years and years ago, he said, I was brand new to this church. Nobody knew in the church. They said, Sister Taylor was married to a very, very wicked man. Sister Taylor would wear the same little church dress every Sunday morning, same best little church dress she had every Sunday night, and every midweek service. Well, you know, those sisters in the church, they got noticing that. And they wanted to help out. They didn't know what all was going on. And they'd go out and they'd buy her such a beautiful dress. Brother Paul, they'd give it to Sister Taylor. And they'd say, Sister Taylor would take that dress and tears would fill her eyes and she'd bring it up to her heart and she'd squeeze it like she would a firstborn child and say, thank you, thank you. And they said, you got to understand, she's a frail little woman, small woman. They said whenever she'd get home, her husband, who was a very large man, large in physical stature, he'd see that new dress in that lady's hand, pull it out of her, go grab a pair of scissors. Over and over. He'd drop it at her feet. He'd say, now you go back to that Holiness Church now. And they didn't know that Sister Taylor would just take the little scraps and the pieces and just scrape them up, just cry and go back in her little room. And it went on like that for years.
But Zane, you going to tell me that man finally turned around. You're going to tell me that man finally made it right with God. You're going to tell me that he asked her to forgive her for all the mean, ungodly things he ever done to her. You're going to tell me that? No, as far as I know, that man busted hell wide open. But as far as I know, Sister Taylor never cursed God in the process. Amen. That's her testimony. She never got bitter at God. She never pointed a finger at God. That's her message. That's her message. How God could have changed it. God could have delivered it. But her message is that through all the years of torment, she held on to God. Sometimes your message is greater than your miracle. Did they get the healing? No. Are they still serving God? You better believe it. Did God ever get them out of that home of pain? God never got them out of that. But God saw them through that. And they made it on the glory. And they shouted on streets of gold. And God saying, well done! Well done! Well done! And there comes a place in your life. I'm closing. There comes a place in your life where you honestly say to God, God, I know that you can. I know that you will. But Lord, I'm willing to tell you that my miracle is not as important as your message to these people. Oh God, I want to be healed. God, I want to be touched. God, I want to be helped. But if more people would see you through this and through that, not my will, but thy will be done. Someone help me, please, on the end. They cried out unto God. They cried out unto God. What must I do that I might be saved? And now, Brother Prescott, 40 years of one great question mark finally made sense. Let me tell you something, beloved. 10,000 years in glory. And when you see the souls that you helped to win through your suffering and sorrow, question mark, will finally make sense, huh? They maybe never would have saw me. I'd walked in like every other man. But they said, I know this man. And they all saw him walking and praising God. And this man's suffering was used for the Savior's message. I've got to ask somebody a question tonight. I've got to ask someone a question. Are you truly willing to say, Lord, let my suffering be used for your glory? Oh, God. My dad was in that hospital. My granddaddy. My granddad was a good man, one of those guys so morally good, it's hard to get saved. You ever met any of them before? Come down with cancer. My granddad come down with cancer. And in that frail body, he heard that my father, Lamar, my daddy Lamar, was in the hospital, just sick. He made those ways up to that second story. He went to go visit him. And about that time, our pastor, Brother Russell McDonald, came on into that room, looked over at my dad and said, Lamar, I'm here to see you, here to pray for you. Looked over my granddad, Thomas. I'm so glad to see you again. Been praying for you. Been praying for you. They had a few words and a small prayer. He was just about to leave, and my dad looked at Brother McDonald and said, Brother Mac, he said, how's your son? Brother McDonald has one son, oldest son. He's out of church. I asked my dad, I said, did you even know that Brother McDonald had a boy that's out of church? And Daddy said, no, I don't even know why I said that, Saint. Brother McDonald looked down at my daddy and said, Lamar, he said, some people make it so hard, and it's just so simple. Just give your life to him. About that time, Thomas, my grandfather, looks up and says, you know, I guess that's why I never got saved. I don't really know what to say. Remember that night? Just didn't know what to say. Brother Russell McDonald looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, what about the thief on the cross? My granddaddy went home that day, knocked on the door of old Sister Oliver. With tears in that man's eyes, he said, I'm ready to get saved. I said, Daddy, have you ever thought for one second that God had to have you in that hospital to bring a preacher by that way, to bring an old man that didn't know he was only 2 years away from death's door? God had to put you in that place to get somebody else saved. I'd love to tell you tonight. You're going to walk up to this front. Everything's going to be fine. You'll never have a pain. You'll never have a... I can't tell you that. I'm telling somebody needs to be willing to say, oh, God, my miracle is not as important as your message. Your message. Stand with me all over this house.